The children are dismissed for children's church if you haven't gone already. Otherwise, you're stuck here. Go now. I'm just kidding. He didn't have to run, though. Just kidding. All right, let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for a chance to come before you to worship your name. And God, as we look at your words, the words of your scripture, may the words of my mouth and the meditations and the thoughts of every one of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. How many here are familiar with the story of Mary and Martha in scripture? Good. All right. Well, it's a very common story, and it seems, at least, to have a very sort of simple conclusion. And what I've heard very often is that the story of Mary and Martha, the point of the story is that, well, Mary is this person who's focused on being with Jesus, and Martha is this person who's focused on doing stuff for Jesus. And that Mary's way is better, and Martha's way is not quite as good. And then that's usually sort of the way the sermon goes. Has anybody heard a sermon or a teaching or read a book that went along those lines? Okay. Well, I'm going to argue with that. Just because I'm a very argumentative person, as you all know. Always picking fights. No. But I was reading this text this week, and it just surprised me on a number of levels. Sort of baffled me on a number of levels. But in a very good way. In a very good way. It's not that this message is any less profound than what you have already heard. But in fact, even more so. So let's read the text and start there and then jump in. From Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Luke chapter 10. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This is the word of the Lord. Verse 38, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. So at the outset, the beginning of this story, we know that there's a woman named Martha, and she's opened her home to Jesus. So reading that, I'm thinking that she's probably going to be the hero of this story, because opening your home to Jesus is a very profound act. We know the story of Zacchaeus. When Zacchaeus opened his home to Jesus, it was the very thing that brought salvation unto him and his whole household. That opening your home to Jesus is actually this very, very profound act. We read, and we talked a couple months ago from the book of Acts about a woman named Lydia, who, when she became converted to Christianity, when she embraced the gospel in her life, the first thing she did was invite Paul and some of his group to stay at her house, because hospitality was just the thing that needed to be offered. So, that's how the story begins. We've set it up. Martha's the first character introduced, and she's opening her home to Jesus. So far in the story, I'm looking very positively about Martha, forgetting about all the things I've already learned about it through all the other sermons I've heard and books I've read. No. Martha opened her home to Jesus. This is a very good thing, is it not? Okay. Verse 39, we get a second character. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Okay, a new character. So Martha invites Jesus into her home, which is this beautiful, wonderful thing. But Mary, well, it seems like she's found something even more beautiful and wonderful because she's sitting at his feet, listening to what he says. And that's the two characters that we get. And I guess we're left with the question, okay, well, who's going to be the protagonist? Who's going to be the main character? Who's going to be the hero in this story? Who's going to be the foil? There's all sorts of options at this point in the story. But right now, both of them are very good characters. Both of them have done nothing but good, opening their home to Jesus, sitting at his feet, listening to him. Okay. Well, then the contrast starts to become a little bit more clear immediately in verse 40. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked her, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." And then we get Jesus' response to her. "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things." Okay, so the story has unfolded very quickly. Martha went from the woman who invited Jesus into her house to this woman who's now barking at Jesus a little bit. So this is what we see. We'll just sort of lay it out as if it weren't a story, but if it were something that you were just teaching. So Mary, she's the one who sits at the Lord's feet, and she listened to his words. Martha, well, she is distracted with preparations. That's not abbreviation for prepositions, but she's distracted with preparations. And also worried and upset, according to Jesus. So the narrator in verse 40 sort of tips their hand. Martha was distracted by all the preparations. And then later Jesus says that you are worried and upset. So which person would you rather be in this situation? Naturally, Mary, right? Mary's just sitting there, chilling, listening to the best teacher that's ever lived, just teach, right? I mean, that's not a bad position to be in. And Martha is distracted with preparations, preparing a meal because she's invited him into her home, and she doesn't want to just have him at the home hanging out and then not give him any food. And she's worried and upset. How many feel bad for Martha? Please be honest here. Come on. Most of us read this story, and we feel bad for Martha. Do we not? Because if she's the one doing all the work, she should not be getting chastised in this story. Mary sits at the Lord's feet and listens to his words, and Martha is distracted, worried, and upset. And I want to make the point here that the problem is not her hospitality. Martha getting a meal ready for Jesus is not a bad thing. Could you imagine, you know, if Jesus comes to your home and you prepare a meal for Jesus, is that a bad thing? I don't think anybody's going to argue that it's a bad thing to offer hospitality to Jesus. What is bad about Martha's situation is that she is, and I've even bolded and italicized the special words for you, she is distracted, she is worried, and she is upset. She's distracted, she's worried, and she's upset. And for, you know, all of you who spend a lot of time in the kitchen, you know it's quite easy to be distracted, worried, and upset when you're trying to prepare a meal for Jesus. I mean, not that any of you have ever hosted a dinner party for Jesus particularly, but anybody, you know, there's stress that is involved in that process. Okay, so Martha's hospitality is not the problem. And this story is also, it's not an excuse for Mary to be irresponsible. Right? We can use this story and say, well, I don't have to do anything. Oh, it's all about just sitting with Jesus, hanging out, and I don't have to do anything. So you can worry about taking care of all that stuff, all the hard work of life, and I'm just going to sit at Jesus' feet my whole life. Well, that'll require a little bit further unpacking. But needless to say, This is not, this story is not a justification for not doing anything and not helping people out. That is not the point of this story. Okay. What I think the key distinction between Mary and Martha are in this story, and we've already gone over it, but it's like sort of one of those things that hit me and it was kind of like, duh, but here it is. Mary listens, and you can write this on the back of your bulletin if you are taking notes, filling in blanks and whatnot. Mary listens to what Jesus wishes to say. Martha tells Jesus what he ought to say. Now, for all of us, we're feeling bad for Martha. We may have found ourselves in this position at the same time, right? Many of us, I think, probably, have, in our own little ways, told Jesus what we think he ought to say, right? To a particular person, maybe even through our prayers. We pray for Jesus to say something to somebody else because, well, it would be rude for us to say it, but we want Jesus to strike them with something in particular. Mary, her posture in this whole situation is open, listening to what Jesus has to say. Martha's posture is closed, telling Jesus what he ought to say. And you know, when you've generated enough sympathy for Martha in your mind, you don't notice the harshness of her words. She comes to Jesus and says, Lord. Okay, so she uses the proper title when addressing him. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. You're a guest in my house. I can boss you around a little bit, even though you are Jesus. Tell her to help me. Whew. I tell you, that sympathy clouds our vision sometimes. So that's the primary distinction. Mary's listening to what Jesus wishes to say, and Martha is telling Jesus what he ought to say. How many of you can think of a situation, an event, somewhere in your life or in the world where somebody has tried to control or manipulate somebody else through God or Jesus? Where we use God to try to manipulate somebody else. Many of you know I went to a Christian college because I wanted to study to be a pastor. And this is something very, very common at Christian colleges. And the ladies who go to Christian colleges can tell you this. But guys have these amazing spiritual pickup lines where they go up to a beautiful young woman who they are smitten with, and then this is the pickup line. I've been praying a lot. This is how it begins. I've been praying a lot. And I really feel like God wants us to be together. Now, I thought this was just a great pickup line when I was in college. Now I look back at it and I'm like, manipulating God to get him to do something or to get somebody else to do something we want them to do, right? Now that's a pretty cheesy example, and it does happen all the time. Joe, you went to Spring Arbor, does that happen there? Okay. Yes. It happens, it's Trinity, it happens all over. And it's not just colleges either, it happens in wherever. But we use God as motivation to manipulate people. And I would argue that manipulation in Jesus' name and in the name of God is the worst kind of manipulation. When we're using the God of the universe as some sort of tool to get what we want in the world. How many think that that's the way things should be? That we should be able to use God as some sort of a genie or some sort of manipulative thing to get other people to do what we want? Because if we want power in a situation, who better to appeal to than the creator of the universe who has all the power? It is a very real temptation, and I would wager that most of us do this sort of thing unconsciously, right? But sometimes maybe when we are telling people what we sense God is doing in our hearts, sometimes we are actually trying to manipulate them to change their ways. And as a pastor, one of the places I find this, where people using God to manipulate, is when people are trying to sell me stuff. People are trying to sell me stuff. They find out I'm a pastor. Suddenly, my faith in Jesus and the church is like this inn that they're going to use to try to sell me stuff. And they start using phrases like, well, being a man of ministry, you want somebody who will da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Or you want a company who da-da-da. And I start to get this icky feeling in my bones. Like, ew, they're trying to use Jesus to sell me swimming pool liners. Or they're trying to use Jesus to sell me insurance, you know? And like, okay, the fact that we have a common faith is good and we can recognize that. But please, please don't use my faith to try to sell me something, to try to manipulate me, to try to get me to buy your product instead of somebody else's because, well, you guys are good people and they're maybe not. Whew. You guys may not experience that as often as I do, but I tell you, people hear the P word, pastor, they're jumping on it. Okay. It behooves us to listen to the words spoken by Jesus himself in any story, because he usually has important, smart, enlightening things to say. And this story ends with Jesus' response to Martha. And he says, Martha, Martha, starting in verse 41, you are worried and upset about many things. We've gotten that part. But few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Now, it's easy for us to hear that Mary has chosen what is better and misinterpret what that thing that she has chosen is. Because for many of us, that is, okay, spending time at Jesus' feet, which means, you know, whatever, having our devotions, that sort of thing. Sort of. That's sort of the right answer. But the words, sitting at his feet, in this time and place, had a much more significant meaning. To sit at somebody's feet, especially a great teacher, a great rabbi, to sit at his feet meant to be his disciple. This isn't just like, you know, moping around and, you know, sort of like glancing into Jesus' eyes and being like, oh, this is so cool. It's actually being a student of Jesus. So she was sitting at his feet listening to his words. And that word there is logos, which is the word that we use to say, to talk about the word of God. And it's also the word that we use to describe Jesus in the book of John. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. So she was listening to Jesus' words, sitting at his feet. So we have the very personal dimension, this interaction between Mary and Martha, but we also have this huge social implication here. Because this is a woman who is sitting at this rabbi's feet listening to him. And that, for most rabbis, would be an absolute no-no. In fact, women generally weren't even allowed in the dining room until the meal was done in that culture. But here she is, the meal is being prepared, and she has chosen to sit at Jesus' feet, to be his disciple. And when somebody sits at somebody's feet and listens to their words, there's no thinking that they're just going to listen and just keep it to themselves. No, she is in some sort of training to be in some form of ministry. And she's a woman in first century Palestine, and that is not a common thing. And that is not something that most people would look kindly at. But here she is, sitting at Jesus' feet. So, to say that Martha is doing stuff for Jesus by preparing this meal, and Mary is just being with Jesus. Well, that doesn't quite tell the whole story, because Mary, yes, she's being with Jesus. She's sitting at his feet and she's listening to him. But what she's listening to, what she's hearing, is going to require a whole lot of doing stuff for Jesus in the future. She's learning how to take up his yoke upon her. She's learning how to follow Jesus. Now, yes, we don't want to get caught up in doing stuff for Jesus and trying to earn our way to heaven and that sort of thing. That is, you know, that's unbiblical, and other passages tell us that that's not right. But this story, I don't think, is primarily about that distinction. And what this story is about is what Jesus says it's about. It's about that one necessary thing. He says, few things are needed, or indeed, only one. When Jesus says only one thing is needed, yes, we should listen to him. Indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. It's a little frustrating that he doesn't say, lay out, okay, indeed, only one thing is necessary, and this is what it is. Give us a sentence, a little synopsis, but based on the story, I think that this is what he's saying. One thing is necessary. Sitting at Jesus' feet, not just sitting there, but in the sense of taking his yoke upon you, in the sense of sitting at his feet, learning, in the sense of studying the Word of God, knowing what it has to say, knowing what Jesus teaches, sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to him, becoming his disciple. Becoming his disciple. Now, Martha was a good woman, and I would guess that eventually she figured out what it meant to become a disciple of Jesus. She's mentioned multiple times in the New Testament. Her stories, you know, Mary and Martha, they were sisters to Lazarus, and this was a family that was near and dear to Jesus' heart. And I think Martha got it, but not in that situation. That day she just wanted help in the kitchen, right? That's what she wanted. And she didn't get it. But Mary got this amazing, wonderful gift. And it won't be taken from her, Jesus said. That gift of just listening, sitting at the Master's feet, sitting at Jesus' feet, learning what it is to take his yoke upon her, learning how to be his disciple, learning how to spread his message, learning all sorts of things. And that's what Jesus is getting at here. That's that one necessary thing for us to be constantly discipled, for us to constantly be shaped by God's Word, to be shaped by Jesus himself. And that comes in a dynamic relationship with him, that comes day in and day out with us wrestling with him, and sometimes just not getting Jesus, and sometimes not getting parts of the Bible, and sometimes shouting at him. Maybe that's just me, but sometimes it's not easy, but we sit at the disciple at the Master's feet. We listen to what he has to say, and we don't try to boss him around. It's about learning what it is to be a Christ follower, learning what it is to be a disciple of Jesus. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for stories like these that remind us what is important in life. God, that when the distractions and worries and upsetting things of this world begin to take over our lives, we're reminded that the important thing is that we follow you. The important thing is that we listen to you. The important thing is that we are your disciples, that we bear the mark of Jesus on our lives. And that's nothing to get upset about. God, hear our worship as we continue to praise you, and as we reflect on who you are in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.